Try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait. Will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts. One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
Never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. That's Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Here. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, friends? Welcome into the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am the Welsh. That is the Bogman. I was going to say, like, Ghost Bogman, but...
just the Bogman.
Yeah. I did see a player's name that was, like... Brogman, and I got really excited thinking it was Brogman.
There's been a Bogman in the bigs, but it was spelled B-A-U-G-H-M-A-N. So
see, that's the worst. Bogman. That's the word. Like, yeah. With the names, about to go into the real name. I was about to do a whole segment on the not the Welsh name, the real name.
Yeah. Bogs, oh, wow.
And do that. But yeah, there's an actual Chris Welsh.
We don't have enough letters in that for your real last name. We don't have enough letters in the alphabet.
It's terrifying to people too. I really don't need to keep the Welsh thing.
If
but
you guys
like,
are wondering what it is, just look up the safe word from Eurotrip. That's basically what it is. So
yeah. It's a Welsh last name. I had a guy the other day when I'm trying to remember what the context of what it was, where like, oh, you know what it was? It was it was ordering from Pizza Hut. The kids needed pizza and order it. And he was just like, give your number and your name. And he's like, all right, is this for Chris? And he was just like, I don't know how to say that, man. Like, don't worry about it. I'm like, don't worry about it. It's not as intimidating as possible. I don't really need to hide it anymore, but we will because it's Welsh and that's what it is. And guess what? No hiding today's awesomeness because we have got Sleeper and the Bust. That's right.
That's right.
Which one is Sleeper and which one's the Bust?
I don't know.
No, I know. Justin Mason, when he wears that little that swimsuit, that's a bust. That is a bust.
Yeah,
it's a bust. So Sleeper is Paul and Justin Mason. We got both of them coming on here in a little bit for Draft Forum 2.0, where we're going to be talking about just draft prep leading into your final weekends, some of their biggest breakouts, some of the highest shares. We're going to do some player debates and a few questions throughout. So we have got Paul and Justin coming on in just a little bit, which I'm very excited about. And this episode is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Use the promo code ITL, just I, then T, and then L, and you are going to get a 100% match on your first $100 deposited. So that is free money to you. Get in on their awesome best ball contest. They've got the $25 huge one. They've got the $10 huge one. Massive cash prizes. It's a really easy consumable best ball format too, where it's like 3 infielders, 3 outfielders, 3 pitchers with a util and then a bench. It's really fun. You can go check it out today. Get into best balls for as little as $3 and you can play for more. And they've got some crazy in-season contests. And I would throw out to you, if you're a March Madness guy, they got some March Madness stuff as well. Maybe you think it's not available. It probably is. They're available in so many places where you can't do a lot of this stuff. Both Texas and Arizona, Bogman and I are covered. You might be too. So go support our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Download the app today and use promo code ITL. Bogman, 250 of my closest friends, apparently, all joined yesterday as we're recording this to see Jacob DeGrom throw for the first time to live hitters. And it was squishy. There were too many people around. I'm used to my backfields kind of being all me. Like, I own them. I just walk around like Vince McMahon. I'm like, I know what I'm doing here. You can't walk. There were two, not just like 250 people going to kind of like see players. They all knew that Jacob DeGrom was throwing. They all waited. Every bleacher was taken up. It was like standing room only. And somehow I was able to weasel my way in right to the front in the most perfect spot you could possibly imagine and obscure the view of at least 20 to 30 people behind me because I'm so large.
You know what is funny is every year we hear, oh man, the audience for baseball is declining and it's in a free fall and all this stuff. And then you go to watch Jacob DeGrom pitch a double-A game in the backfields and there's 200 people there. Like, yeah okay, baseball's dying. If you say so, pal. All right.
I know. Yeah, that's totally. It's like a thumbs up. Like, okay, buddy. Sure. What'd you say? Yeah. Baseball's dead. But, you know, no one knew about this, too. Like, they had like this offhanded comment on Twitter, like, oh, Jacob DeGrom. Everybody. And here's the other thing. The games, the minor league games have just started up. Minor league spring training has started up. They start at 1 o'clock. Everyone was there and they started the game at 11:30 in the backfields. So like everyone was prepared. So this was just a wild experience seeing him. And I don't know if you took a look at both of them. So both the videos, I shared a couple videos that are out there. One of which is the strikeouts, which is fun. It's all fun and dandy and stuff. It's three of the strikeout pitches. I'm doing it right here. You can kind of see that was one, by the way, as I'm playing this here. The three straight batters is Jason Guzman. Oh, bam, there's a slider. And then he throws what looks like a slider. It could be a changeup on the outer half to a lefty, though. It's might be a changeup, but it was all breaking pitches regardless. But this came off of what I don't know if you actually watch the video, Boggs. The second batter up against Jacob DeGrom. We're going to play the audio here. This is a strike or a ball on the outside. Hits an inside the park home run against Jacob DeGrom. Have you watched this yet?
No, I haven't. I saw that you tweeted about the inside the park home run, but I didn't watch it.
Fastball in. Just right on it. It's going. Look at the pole in the middle. Watch this pole right next to the big green. Bang. Hits off the pole. Goes. Bad fielding. And guy comes all the way.
Looks like a double A game. Yeah.
It kind of plays like a double A game. You can hear some of the 400 million people that are back there. It really doesn't do it justice. And this was the tweet. Of course, per usual, by the way, my own personal tweets don't usually go viral unless it's me. Cursing, playing my what is that guy's name? Who's the guy that does
Bobby Menery
announcing? Bobby Menery, yeah, you knew it right away. Unless I was doing my own Bobby Menery with Tatis, Barstool picked up my video and tagged me in it, so I got all their comments and all their stuff. But we did get Jacob DeGrom out there, and no one was doing video. It was hot, it was crazy, and every single person. I felt horrible too, by the way, when Jacob DeGrom was done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
The massive, it was an exodus. The seas parted and everybody left. These poor guys that are still playing.
Yeah, cooled off because there wasn't all that body heat in there and all that stuff. Yeah.
Left. They're just done watching.
You know, it's spring training and it's a World Baseball Classic and it's really making me homesick right now. I mean, every day I look up and there's something fun to do in Arizona and I am, stuck out here in the traffic. So
you want to know the worst thing on the planet? I got offered tickets to the WBC today and I couldn't go because of recordings and stuff. We actually really had to like lock in. We only had one time for this recording. Our dear friend Tone, shout out to Tone, who I got to meet his wonderful family on the backfields, offered me tickets to, I think it was Mexico and Colombia. And I was like, oh my God,
that would have been so much fun too.
I want to go. I mean, I do and I don't want to go. I don't want to deal with the traffic, but I would have loved to have gone to the WBC. So baseball in full front here. And the big thing, like back to Jacob DeGrom, it was 35 pitches. They wanted him to go at least multiple innings so he could cool down and come back up. And that's where he came back up. That second inning you saw, three straight strikeouts he threw. 20 of 24 pitches were for strikes. He threw only 24 in two innings, and then he went on to the side mound where they have like a bullpen thing, and he threw the rest of his pitches. He finished that off there. A really bad changeup he threw into the dirt, but then just got the rest of his 35 pitches in. He felt good. He was smiling. He didn't get hurt. That's what everybody was waiting for. The snarky comment is, well, you know, it's going to happen soon. Maybe, but here's what I tell you.
My favorite comment was Bubba when you said 250 people, and he said, how many of them were doctors? That's pretty solid from Bubba.
A lot of people like that one. He got one of those like nice, rare, like viral, under viral, you know, like everyone was liking his tweet. That was a pretty good one. Probably a lot of them. The entire organization was out there again. No shocker. And I was trying to like listen for more information, but there were just so many people scrounge up. There's like a woman that just like got up literally like under my left arm for video. And I was like, okay, dokie, this is fun. This is super great. But that's how it ended up. But I thought it was encouraging.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, he gave up the inside the park homer. So like some people were like, wash. But it's like, the dude is just trying to throw strikes. And he did 20 of 24 strikes. He was healthy. He was out there. I think it was a very, very encouraging sign. I still agree that it's probably a little too soon. We're going to acknowledge that, like where he's going as far as ADPs, but you really want him. And the conversation has never died. Me and Eno actually talked about it on Rates and Barrels today. We were talking about this video thing, and he did say something interesting where, you know, he still wants to cite Derek Cardi, where Cardi says, you know, Jacob DeGrom in 140 innings should be a first round pick. But Eno was like, I would rather take Strider right now just over him, because I think they're similar with similar, maybe backtrack of innings. But Strider is safer from the injury right now. So
yeah,
something to consider.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we've said it. It's the risk reward with DeGrom. If you take him, you are taking a gamble. I mean, you're taking a gamble with Strider too, but you're not taking a health gamble. You're taking a repeatability. Maybe he gets figured out. He's young. He's going to have an innings limit. Like, it's, you know, the old death by a thousand cuts with Strider. With DeGrom, it's one thing. It's if this UCL falls off, he's cooked. But if he stays healthy the whole season, you're good to go. And he's the best pitcher in baseball. It's not a question. He is. Yeah. So,
yeah. And I think, I think the positive is like the stuff he was commanding at will. The slider was is a double A guy.
Good news over bad news, man. That's all you can hope for, right?
Totally
now.
Agree.
You're not going to get anything ironclad or specific or whatever. He went out there. He threw how many total was it? Did you say how many pitches total?
35, but 24 between the first 24 to live batters, 20 of 24 were for strikes. And then he threw the rest on the bullpen to finish up, hit the pitches they wanted him to throw that day.
Yeah. So, you know, he'll expand. I think, isn't the next thing a start for him?
So here's what I believe. I have not heard it announced. I think he's going to throw one more side session, like to minor leaguers. I think he'll throw to AAA. I'll bet you he goes 50 pitches and then he'll get into a game. And he'll go into a game, which would be, now they could throw him into a game, which would line up to be like Saturday, probably, or they let him throw Friday or Saturday on the backfields again. And then he goes midweek next week, which I think happens, because then what you can do is you can go 60 pitches, let's say, in the first game, get him one more towards the back end of spring, maybe two, and you can build up to that, like, 85-ish range. And then when in season starts, maybe they baby him for a couple starts, but I think everything is going well. And I just thought you said it best, like good news. It's just all good news.
News over bad news
around him. Yeah, exactly. And his stuff looked phenomenal.
Right, yeah.
And you know, dude, kid was second pitch swinging fastball, and he just absolutely, he did crush it. No, you know, Omar Hernandez, by the way, who was a kind of a bigger international prospect with him a couple years ago. He's a catcher. And, you know, shout out to him. That's going to be something you're going to remember forever. I was lucky to get it on video. And shout out to any and all accounts that go viral instead of me off of my work. Yeah, they attributed me. So no hate. Bogman, cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bills, y'all. This is a direct quote, not really from Corbin Carroll, because Corbin Carroll locked up $111 million. As you wrote on here, he received the bag.
He got the bag. And look, to me, this is the second best contract extension since Goldie. You know, in terms of team friendly
for the Diamondbacks. Well, I'd say Acuna is my. Oh yeah, yeah. For the D-backs. Acuna is like phenomenal. But
well, yeah. sure. But I'm sorry, like the D-backs don't usually do good deals. And the deal with Goldie was the only good thing that Kevin Towers ever did in Arizona. So, you know, to see this happen is outstanding. And I'm happy about it. It is a risk. I mean, we all, you know, it's kind of funny because he's hitting in spring now, but we all remember Scott Kingery, right? Getting the bag before doing anything and True. Then completely plummeting. But, you know, for a mid-market team like the Diamondbacks, you have to do a deal like this before he's proven anything.
And also, if you look at like recent history, think about the players that get locked up to these type of bigger contracts. Like Kingery got a pretty big one, but think of like Albies and Acuna. The track record in MLB of players getting this type of contract before in the way that they return value is pretty high. I'm not saying that money has to be attached to it, but like when these type of players get these type of deals, there's a big reason for it. And I think it breeds more confidence to Carroll that this isn't going to be Carroll has a bad month and he gets sent down. Everybody's like, well, I don't know about the ISO and why didn't he steal bases and stuff. And it's like, well, you know what? This team believes in him. They've locked him up. He's the future. He's going to hit in the top three in the lineup, which is great. He's going to steal bases, and he is the face of the franchise. And I think he's the highest paid player on the Diamondbacks right now. That might not be true from an annual basis, but I think at this point, I don't know any, maybe Bumgarner. Bumgarner's got a big old
probably
crappy SE contract. So, but either way, he's near the top of it. I think them pulling this off is just like one little tiny piece when you're paying absurd prices. I would look, by the way, NFBC since March 1st, Boggs, he has a high of 40. Someone took him 40 and his ADP is 54.
He went 19 in one of our satellite leagues. So, I mean, people are excited.
Someone was trying to get our attention. Someone was trying to get our attention. They wanted us to talk about
that. Probably. Yeah. I can't remember who did it, but yeah, I mean, he's going real, real high. The hype is real.
Yeah. Well, I got him in TGFBI. Thank God. And I think I might have got him in Tout, Draft, and Hold too. I know I got him in one of the industry ones. So hopefully, a little money where my mouth is. Andrew Painter officially has a UCL strain, which he's going to try to avoid. Yeah. TJ, I don't know if we talked about this. He's going to be shut down for a month. This is really bad. Really, really bad news, because I think this is going to be a precursor to Tommy John. I don't think it's going to work with the healing. And they went for second opinions. And like anytime these dudes go for second opinions, it's not good.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, you can pretty much take him off the list at this point. So
pretty much bad news today. Freddie Freeman left Canada's WBC game with a slight hamstring strain. So it's not horrific, but this is the type of thing that ends someone's WBC time. Just
well, I mean,
out.
Canada's almost cooked anyway. So he's
are they 1-2
done.
Right now?
Yeah. I don't know. Actually, I don't know how the game finished today. So. Because I just
missed the game. I think that was the game I was supposed to go to, wasn't it? I was just saying it was who's facing Colombia? Was it Canada?
Yeah, I think so. It's Canada's right now. It's actually Canada 1-0 in the eighth. It's actually still happening. This game.
Okay, so that's the game I would have gone.
We forget there's no hurry up rules in the World Baseball Classics. Those games are still 4 hours.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm looking here. Yeah, Nicaragua eliminated. Venezuela, who I put as a sleeper team in that division, 3-0 right now. So I feel smart about that.
Venezuela is not a sleeper. Venezuela is one of the top three teams.
But dude, no, but they're playing with Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic. Like everyone.
Yeah, Puerto Rico.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries. I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking...
In this league.
Break it down.
Yeah, well, the DR was the number one team out of that.
DR,
I was saying that I think
US, DR, Venezuela are the three best. Japan probably goes in there, too. So
yeah, those are the best four teams. Yeah, Canada would move to 2-1, which puts them in a decent spot to actually move on. But it could be without, unfortunately, Freddie Freeman that suffering this injury. A couple other little things that are going around here. Dave Roberts confirmed Monday that Mookie Betts is going to play around 20 games at second base this year. So you can feel great about Yahoo. He'll requalify. 20 games is going to push it for your 20-game qualification years. Except here's my one thing I would argue, though. I think they're talking starts. I think he could move over to second base in a few more games. And I think he will maintain that 20-game eligibility by year's end for next season.
Right, for next season, but my question is, how long is it going to take him to get it here? You know what I mean? Like, is this going to be something where it's, you know, the end of May or early June when he gets it? Or is this going to be like, oh, it's August? And
no, I think it's like, I think it's late June, July. I think that's the range. If you're lucky, if it's 20, I don't know. I think it's, if it's 10, I think you're going to get it.
I mean, if he's getting moved, those games are going to count.
Yeah.
So that would be great. But starts, I don't know. That's tough. So we'll see. One injury, though, and then he's in there. So, you know.
Jordan Walker had a little injury, nothing serious, hopefully. So that shouldn't take anything back from his potential to break camp with the team.
The only reason I put it on there is because we had talked about it in the last show, because it had happened right before the last show and we were worried about it. But now it seems like it's nothing. He's going to be back in the next couple of days, so he'll be
fine. Yeah, which is a big positive. The other little burning ones real quick. You had Volpe apparently is making a big push to take the opening day roster for the Yankees. Me and Eno actually talk about it on Rates and Barrels if you want to check that out. Mitch Haniger's got an oblique strain. This one is like another one of those just little me thing. But Christian Encarnacion Strand, I was talking about on Fantasy Pros, I think he might break camp. I saw him play first base the other day. It really jumped out to me. And Eno, another one, Rates and Barrels, because we did a prospect episode today. He kind of confirmed with someone that's close with the Reds about the same thing, that that they think he will break camp as well. So that's something to watch with Christian Encarnacion Strand. I keep wanting to say Edwin. And then finally, Yever Bauer going to Japan. So no Yever Bauer, no Reds, no. Bye-bye. There's nothing really else to speak to. He can go throw there and have a time of his life. Have a time of your life over there, Trevor Bauer. Make all the videos. It's not going to be here, and it's not going to be for the team. And, you know. Avoid the people that are defending him on Twitter right now to draft. So those people are scary. We know who they are. So there you go. Friends, if you guys want to check us out, make sure you come and check us out over at InThisLeague.com. On the Patreon, we've got updated ranks every Friday, Saturday morning sometimes, for your drafts in the upcoming weekend. You can get in the group me rooms, get a part of the breaks that we do, and all my prospect stuff as well. Go to InThisLeague.com on the Patreon. Come and sign up today, $5-$10. We love you very much. We appreciate all the support. And don't just come for draft season. Come hang out in season, because we got lots of cool stuff that are going on, P1 ADPs. And also, we just opened up, if you're part of the Patreon, the AL-NL Masters, which is a dual, one AL league, one NL league with two rings on the line. I think there's already only four spots left because it opened up on Patreon. So just want to let people know. Hit up Bogman, scottbogman@gmail.com if you have interest, that you're, even if you're not a part of Patreon. There's only a couple spots left. If you want to be a part of the entry leagues, and the listener leagues are there as well. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, it's Sleeper and the Bust, Justin Mason and Paul Spohr on the Draft Forum. And we'll do it right after this.
Chris Welch
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In this league,
this is the way.
Stop touching things.
Draft Forum 2.0. We're back with Sleeper and the Bust. Well, technically only one of them is on time, and we're gonna all chastise the other. Maybe when he comes on, we won't tell him we're recording. Mr. Justin Mason, FWFB. So much amazing stuff. Creator of TGFBI, which really has, I think, taken over. Really is like the predominant league that people want to play in fantasy baseball, that we all cherish. Obviously, Friends of Fantasy Benefits. And of course, Sleeper and the Bust. Justin, what's up, buddy?
Well, since Paul isn't here, does that mean I get to be the Sleeper and he's obviously the Bust now?
So we have, okay, this is a great thing that you just brought up. We were talking about this beforehand of, you know, who is the Sleeper and who is the Bust. My thought process for the Bust wasn't the fantasy type of Bust, but like when you wore the bikini, that was kind of a Bust. So I put you as the Bust for that. And then Paul with his very,
I'm still telling my therapist about it.
So. Yeah. And yeah. Paul's got his mustache. That's very like chloroform over the mouth type of mustache. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Very sleepy, make people go to sleep. So I put you as Bust in that, respectfully, but do you disagree, my friend?
Yeah, I mean, I always think of, you know, Sleeper in the Bust being like the fantasy connotation. But like if me wearing the bathing suit makes you want to bust, then I'm totally fine taking on that mantle.
Also, power. Wasn't thinking of it from that perspective of wanting to bust, but maybe there was a, you know, shake in the bust or something like that. But
all right, yeah.
Look, look who decided to join us. Look at that. It's Mr. Paul Spohr is in here, mustache and all. Paul,
what we had did I walk into?
Well, we're ripping cigs and we're talking about busts, and we're trying to find out. I said that Justin would be the bust, but not from a fantasy bust perspective, but from a when he wears his bikini type of bust. And
titties.
You have a very sleepy chloroform type of mustache that I think fits. So don't you think that kind of works together well? Don't you think?
It's a bit of a stretch.
You know, I think it does. I think it does. Like, you know, you're like, hey, everybody, like your mustache? You know, like, you put them to sleep. So I don't know if you agree or disagree. Makes, what's up, buddy?
I think it makes sense.
I do. All right. How's it going, guys?
I know. How are you? Thank you for joining us on this episode. How goes everything
weirdest
with Mr. Paul Spohr?
Yeah, it's going all right. It's going
we figured
all right.
We would just jump right into it. Mr. Paul Spohr on Twitter at Spohr. Also, the what is it? The head of creative or what is the title? At,
content director at OTP.
OTP. That's right. A lot of people very interested. Yeah. OTP. A lot of people interested in that content creative director and obviously Sleeper
coming out
bust.
Soon.
When is it coming out?
March 24th.
Okay. What is it going to be exciting? Month.
Are you kidding me? Yes, of course it is. And we got Vegas. We got New York for the drafts. I mean, yep. It is an insane month right
traveling.
Now.
Traveling.
I didn't want to say no to y'all, but I probably should have.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. See, you guys are beautiful. You know what happened? I'm going to tell everybody behind the scenes. I think Justin made this happen because Justin responded first. And Justin was like, I could do this time. And I was like, yeah, we could do that. That's perfect. And then Paul at that point was going to be guilty. Yeah. Paul would
no,
be
no, it wasn't about, like, if I couldn't have done it at this time, I wouldn't have done it. But like, well, yeah, that does work. But I got like the narrow time that we got. And then like,
well,
as soon
see,
as we're getting started,
I was smart because like I knew like I've got to write 6 articles today.
Yeah,
before
he's writing
every freaking
ahead
board.
Of time.
And I'm going to New York and Vegas as well. And I was like, all right, if I don't say what time I can do it and like lock it in ASAP, yeah. Then it's just I'm not going to be able to do
and
it.
And I appreciate
I
that
love
you did that.
Coming on with you guys. So yeah. I was like, I'm not missing this.
No, I didn't want to miss it. If it had been at a different time, I'd have been like, ugh, well, it looks like it's going to be a 3-way instead of the old 4-way.
Yeah, well, we like it 4-way. We like to swap. We like to swap around
absolutely.
A little bit, gentlemen. So it's very good to have you. It is draft form. Draft form, very easy episode where we're just talking about just a lot of the things that are going into our final draft, just like you guys and ourselves. We've all done a lot of our draft prep. We've gone through all of the teams and the ADPs and the player breakdowns, and we've done mock drafts. So at this point, this is just a good time to just have a total circulation of different conversations around players and stuff like that. And that's what we're going to do today. So we've got a few questions. We're going to ask you guys maybe about some of your breakout hitter pitchers, which also can be construed as like your favorite guys to take. And then we, of course, have some player debates for both of you gentlemen, because that's always fun. Let me ask you this first up. Bogman and I were talking about this at the top, and Paul, we'll start with you on this. I was out yesterday and I saw Jacob DeGrom throw his first live session and I got video of it. That's out there. You can check
that
on Twitter. On the it's on the twits. Yeah, here. Like oh, I'll pull it up here. Look at this. There's Justin Mason's Twitter account. Check this out.
Yeah.
we'll show some video. I don't. You obviously haven't seen it. So here
light
is.
Oh Jesus! I can.
It's always
like,
dude.
That.
You know what? You were gonna say something. My kid the other day was like, "I need to change my phone to dark mode," and I was like, "Okay, Spohr." And
it's
then he looked
kid.
At me and he's like, what? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot. You don't know who that is. But
it's a good kid
yeah, he
right
did
there.
The same thing. I've always been light mode. You gave me crap about this. You know what? Everybody.
I won't stop.
Paul
he gives me I'm dark mode on everything, too. The athletic.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Justin,
just
are you
better for your
too?
Eyes?
No, I'm light mode. Yeah. Light mode.
Okay.
For sure.
Like, thank
Fangraphs
you.
Has dark mode.
I like to live my life in the light. I don't like to live in the dark. I mean, you can see like just on Paul's little screen, like how dark it is in there. He's just living his life in
the
dark. The
screens light everything up. I'm fine.
I guess.
I mean, Spohr, you just changed my life by telling me that Fangraphs has.
Yeah.
I didn't. Paul and I, two or three years ago during the AFL, we were in surprise. That's a lot. That's actually a really good light. We were in surprise and people were going to do things. And Paul was like, nah. So Paul jumped in my car with me. And we went down all the way to Scottsdale to a hotel to have, we had little Dinsies at the hotel together. Mm-hmm. And the first thing he says when we get in the car, when I pull up my phone, he's like, ew, is that light mode? And I was like, Jesus.
Well, you know, it lit up the whole damn car.
It did.
You're going to crash.
It did. Okay. So back to the question. Here are three strikeout pitches, and I'm going to show you the other one if you haven't seen it. This is Jacob DeGrom going through a session. These are just all wipeout breaking balls. Bam. Yep. These are, you know, double A guys. There's a slider right there. Sit down. Jonah Heim is catching him. Here's Jason Guzman. Bam.
Grab a seat, nerd.
And then I think this is a changeup right here. You tell me. It could be the slider on the outside. And
get got, kid.
Real like quick, a, like Spore. I want the title of this to go up. Want to
try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine? Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning. Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Insulin sensitivity.
Always Stop it.
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at signos.com. That's SIGNOS.com with code SPARK. Signos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
2 ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus plans November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Bump Pornhub. What is the title if you post this?
Jacob DeGrom blasts through 3 dudes.
Yep. I knew it.
Great.
Yeah.
Great one.
I thought it was going to be something about old man destroys 3 young men.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be something to do with minors. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be good. Well, not trying to get on a list, guys. We're just trying to get retweeted. So. Just trying to get retweets, not certain types of DMs.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love
it. In this league.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I'm just curious. The other one was this one, just so you guys can see. Those 3 strikeouts came after this minor leaguer, Omar Hernandez. He comes in. He takes a strike on the outside. Bam, right there. Everyone who's already listened to this, but watch this. I don't know if you guys have seen this. Where DeGrom is going to throw him a fastball inside. This is a double-A catching prospect.
Mm-hmm.
We go. Whammy. Hits it. Hits it. It's going to hit this pole right here. Bink.
Oh.
Inside the park.
That's inside the park. Yeah.
Jacob DeGrom gives up the inside the park home.
Wow.
Listen to all people watching a backfield double A game, too.
Right? Yeah. Did DeGrom have a little smile on his face when he was coming back to cover?
I thought I saw
a little wry smile, like, okay, I got there. That's all right.
I mean, I think what it was, you know, it's really funny that you just said that because. Me and Eno went over this, and Eno actually thought that this was a like right here. See this frame where he's got his hands on his hips, where he's like, "God damn it!" Like these guys it's stink. Like
dang,
that type of frustration.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like nice. Play,
all of that. Idiot. All of that is here to tell you this: Jacob DeGrom, 20 of 24 pitches were for strikes. He threw a little bit on the side after he was able to stay healthy. He had 5 strikeouts, no walks. The only thing he gave up was that big ding, which was on the second batter and ended up being like the 4th overall pitch he threw. My question to you is not about results necessarily, but this was good news. What is your take going into this weekend? We'll start with you, Paul, about Jacob DeGrom and how you attach him. There's no bad news. Nothing really may not matter at all, but I feel like he's becoming this big discussion piece because Derek Carty has come out and said, hey, He should be a first rounder, even off of 140 projected innings right now.
Yeah,
I know a lot disagree, even myself, but what say you?
I mean, I don't necessarily disagree. If we can guarantee that many innings, I think both Justin and I did have him up quite high in our rankings that would merit pretty close to first round pick just based on those few innings and maybe even a couple fewer, to be quite honest. So, yeah, I mean, it is going to be a situation. I mean, I feel like the writing's been on the wall here pretty much throughout February as we're talking about DeGrom. If he comes in the spring and looks sharp, it's over. Like, he's going to go high again. You might not be the one that wants to take him, but somebody in your league is going to take Jacob DeGrom in the first round, and I totally get it. The risk is still there. This doesn't erase the risk, but seeing him out there does something to us. It happens even with players that aren't on Jacob DeGrom's level. I mean, I adjusted my projection on Joey Meneses' 2 homers. I was like, I got to reassess this dude, man. Frank Schwindel couldn't have done that. So we see things happen. We make adjustments. Is it right? Probably not to make too sharp of adjustments. But when it comes to somebody with health, you know, like the Meneses thing, maybe not, right? Because those are a couple WBC homers. If you didn't like him, maybe you shouldn't like him anymore. But I gave him actually more runs and ribbies more than I did any power. But with DeGrom and Sale and guys of that ilk, it's about seeing them healthy. So if you're seeing them healthy and you're confident enough, then people are going to go forward with it. And I think Sale's another one who's going to surge, not to the first round, but to like a top 6 round type of thing in 15 teamers if he continues to stay upright in spring as well. So I probably won't necessarily take DeGrom in the first round myself. I mean, I'm in a head-to-head and it's an auction, so I can get him and then still get another first rounder, but he's going to have some first round picks if he hasn't already. Like, I'm sure he already has dipped into the first round, but he'll be a consistent first rounder in the next handful of NFBC drafts.
You want to know something interesting. I was actually just doing this. Me and Eno did on Rates and Barrels. I looked in March 1st and I looked on Draft Champions. Do you know who the one pitcher is that has the highest men picked? Do you know who that pitcher is?
Strider.
It is Spencer Strider. You knew it. It's right.
I guess.
Spencer Strider has the highest men pick of any single pitcher at 6 in draft. Wow. And this is Draft Champions since March 1st. There were 14 drafts in there. No other starting pitcher had a higher one. And you could really envision that it would be Jacob DeGrom. It was not. It was Spencer Strider, who is a very interesting conversation. Justin, when you see, I don't know, the videos don't really necessarily matter, but you get to see him out there throwing strikes, striking guys out, being efficient and being healthy. Would you consider taking him near the first round? I know Paul was kind of dancing around and said, I'm probably not going to. Is that in your peripheral? And do you think actually seeing him finally out there? Yes, there's no bad news, but do you think the good news of seeing him pitch moves anything?
I mean, my projections say I should, right? Like, when I did my projections for him, I initially put him in for like 140 innings, and he was not only the number one pitcher in fantasy, he was the number one player.
It wasn't particularly close,
especially on the pitching side. That being said, there's no way I'm going to do it in a league that doesn't have like unlimited IL spots. If I got unlimited IL spots and it's probably a shallow format league, fine. Like, I'll take the gamble there. 10-team league, unlimited IL. Yeah, I'll take that gamble, but I don't play in leagues like that. Like, I've got the NFBC main event, the $1,700 league, the auction championship, which is a $1,500 league. There's no way he sniffs my roster. Like, it's just, there's just too much risk that he throws 70 innings and I've just wasted, you know, a first or second round pick. It's just not going to happen.
You know what's funny, Mason, as I was reading your chat on FanGraphs earlier, and someone asked a question about Spore, and it was, if Spore thinks that every single pitcher carries the same injury risk, why isn't Jacob DeGrom number one on his board? So Spore, can you kind of explain?
Because well, it's not quite you know, that.
I understand, but well, just explain what the thought sure. process is and
the difference
why
is,
DeGrom wouldn't be number one.
So it isn't exactly that they all have the same risk. It's that the difference between safe and risky is very minimal for me. 3-run homer for Canada. They're running away with this one now. 5-0 against Colombia. It's that the idea of passing on DeGrom to take somebody safe is where I have the problem. That's the myth of it. Because there is no such thing as a safe pitcher. If you're pitching, you're not safe. I still believe Jacob DeGrom has injury risk, though. I'm not blind to what has happened the past couple of years. I'm not blind to the fact that Scherzer and Verlander are 700 years old. So inherently they have a little bit of extra risk than guys who are 5, 6, 7, 10 years younger than them. I'm not blind to Chris Sale's injury risk. So they carry a bit more risk. It's just that my split on that between the safe guys and the injury risk guys is just not going to be nearly as big. So if you believe DeGrom is the best and you're bypassing him to take somebody safe, I think you're doing it wrong. I still think Burns and Cole, they are still the number one and number two on my list. So that's why I would still take them over DeGrom, because I have 143 innings. I got a 276 ERA and a 089 whip, 208 strikeouts. It's obscene, but it's third behind Burns and Cole. So I still take them. Now, if I had 160 innings, just 17 more, he would rocket to first. I don't even think it would take that many. I think if I go 150, let me go 150, and it moves him 15 cents behind Burns into number two. So he basically becomes number one. So if I thought DeGrom is getting that many innings, sure, I would take him one. I'm not 100% out on it either. And if I get a pick late in the first round and that's where DeGrom's going, I'm not 100% out. I'm just saying this weekend, I don't know if I'm going to do it in the head-to-head because I like to build cheaper pitching, but that's the only draft I have.
If you throw three innings in a Cactus League start, that's more good news. You know,
exactly. That's the thing. By the time we get to the main event next week, if it's another,
he'll be a first round pick. If he's healthy, he'll be
the number six pick on ADP, or around there, or even higher. Like,
I was telling Bogman, I was telling everyone listening before, I would expect he's going to do one more minor league game, probably like Friday or Saturday, where he'll go three or four innings. Then he'll get into a spring game mid next week, which will be right, you know, probably Wednesday or Thursday before like weekend drafts, which should really cause it. Justin, I have a comment on this, but you were about to say something.
I was going to say, I think to Paul, Paul and I have a difference of opinion in terms of like how much riskier a pitcher like Jacob DeGrom is versus, you know, your generic pitcher A. But I think to Paul's kind of argument, we aren't good at predicting injury. And I think the idea that anybody can just go, well, I know this guy's going to be injured, and that's why I'm not going to draft him, or that's why I'm going to bust him down my board, is a poor argument just in general.
Or rather, I know this guy's safe. I hate that when I know I'm getting these things. No, the hell you don't.
No player, much less no pitcher, is completely safe.
And that's my biggest issue, is determining that safety.
Name me a single player that has ever been that has ever broken projections like this, because you guys are two of the smartest in the industry, but there are other smart people that are saying the exact same thing. When they come on, I talk to them, whether it's here or The Athletic or CBS, and they go, well, if Jacob DeGrom does this, he's the best player. I think he's the best player, blah, 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 but I won't touch him. I don't recall a player, and name if you can find it for me, ever been a player that is so good that no one will touch because of the fear. Giancarlo Stanton was like the only one I could think of, like maybe a couple years ago.
Alberto Mondesi.
Yeah. Okay. That's an interesting one. Like 2 years ago when people were drafting him on the wheel.
I mean, he wasn't going to be the number one player, but he was going to be very high as a first rounder. Kind of like DeGrom.
I think a lot of people thought like that Mondesi, if he could stay healthy, would be the number one player in fantasy. And that's why you were seeing him go, you know, sometimes, at that
firm second round.
But in the second round. And even after disappointing us the next year, he was still going fourth, fifth round in draft.
You know what? The only argument against that is like he never was DeGrom. Like, you're right. I think
that's true.
I think you probably just picked the best one we could come up with.
Yeah. He was DeGrom in a short sprint. Like
he never had the height of DeGrom.
Yeah. And that's what makes DeGrom so special. That's what makes him so special in this argument. We've seen the best pitcher in baseball. When he's there, he's the best pitcher. I can't think of a player in modern era. I almost feel like I saw Bogman smirk thinking I was going to say Byron Buxton, but like Buxton kind of did that a little bit. But like, is there a player?
If you brought up Buxton.
No, because even he didn't like to get the DeGrom comp, it has to be somebody who's reached that first round height. I think you're almost closer with the Stanton stuff, right? Because he reached the pinnacle, you know, he was the MVP in 2017 and still had a pretty good season the following year. And then 18 games in 2019.
Cause you could see it.
Yeah. Cause he didn't even need to do that much. If he could just stay healthy, like 120 games, it would have been amazing to see what Mondesi could do. And now I think we've obviously moved past that. And this year he'll probably stay that. He'll probably stay.
Oddity. I think it's an oddity, and we should acknowledge the oddity that everybody in one breath says this guy is worth this, but I ain't touching him. Projections say this. Even if he pitches 120, he's this, but I ain't touching him. And that's almost a universally accepted thing.
It's not 1 year, right? It's now 2 years with 92 and 64 innings for DeGrom. And he's 35 as well. If he was 27, it'd be a different story, because the older you get, the more susceptible you are to injury. So it's like there are risks there. Again, I want to be clear. I'm not saying that nobody has heightened risk. Jacob DeGrom has more risk than your standard guy. He's just so good when he pitches. I mean, we saw what he did in those 92 innings. You can't really use that, though, because that was a 108 ERA and a 0.55 whip. He was like the 15th pitcher that, or even higher, I think. I think it was like literally the sixth pitcher with 92 innings that year. But we're not going to get that. So you look more at like last year, 308.75. I could see that. And if you get that for like 100 innings, that's still going to be pretty obscene for him, for DeGrom. But is that going to be enough? And I tend to think not quite. And, you know, you start getting into more expensive buy-in leagues like the main event, it could be harder to put your chips on that when it's your big expensive chip.
Last thing on DeGrom, what's the pitcher you take him at? Like, give me the spot. You said, I'm not taking him first third, round. Where do you take
fourth.
Him?
I would take him in the second round.
Okay, third or fourth.
Probably just SP. Not taking him with my, third or fourth SP. Probably just not taking him with my first pick.
So and like after Sandy?
No, I got him above Sandy. I got him behind Burns and Cole.
I'm not taking him in the first three rounds of a main event.
Then why you rank him that high?
Yeah, that's where my projection phase should go.
But then your projection should be lower.
No, because I'm still projecting. There are plenty of guys that I project in a certain spot, but that I wouldn't draft.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night.
Discrepancy.
Like, but that's taking the personal opinion out of it in the projections. But his
because
personal
the projections
opinion,
say this is what I think he is
ours
most
are
likely.
Personal projections. No, we don't have a system.
But this is what I most likely think he is going to do, right? This is like what I think his 50th percentile, like, you know, is going to be. But that may not fit my roster construction. And my roster construction in a league like the main event is going to be very, very risk averse. And so it's new as of the end of 2019 when I lit $1,700 on fire by drafting
became a meme.
Buxton and Severino and Carmart and Jacob DeGrom was on that. So I'm staying the hell away from any injury risk player. Now, I'm drafting this weekend in Tout, and it's unlimited IL. He's very much in play for me.
In the third or fourth round?
Well, it's an auction. But, at his price, he's in play for me. But I bet you someone will outbid me.
I will tell you this. I'm going to have to put this video out on the YouTube. That moment where Paul goes, why is he there? If you guys will allow me to say this, was the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life. Where Justin just goes, just shoulders up. Like, well, that's my favorite thing that's ever happened on this podcast.
We've had this
when
discussion
a lot. When you're making
your
projection, you take your personal, like you say, well, I can't predict injury. So let's put him for this many innings. But then when you're drafting, you're like, well, I can't predict injury. So I don't want to spend my money on him. I understand that it's having it both ways, but I think it also can work. So I understand it more
with projections than when we were just doing our rankings, because we had this discussion, like I said, on the pod a million times before. And I'm just like, when it was just our rankings and it's really just our gut and what we're doing, I would hammer him a lot more on that. With this projection, he's done math. We've done, you know, we did the research on it. We don't have a system like a Jeff Zimmerman or a Derek Hardy, but we've put a lot of work into these. And I know that they're not like the greatest because it's not a mathematical system, but I can get in a lot more on that. I'm not drafting directly to my projections either.
Yeah. I think Rob Silver has insulted both of you guys for making projections, correct?
Yes. He has or hasn't?
Okay. Oh,
he has.